Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another giant has fallen. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John MacArthur passed away 2 weeks ago, and many of us mourned and celebrated. His memorial is coming up August 23rd in Los Angeles. But overall, the world seemed to be more interested in the death of Ozzy Osbourne. What a tragedy that is. Ozzy's music will be played a little bit until classic rock stations go out of business and have to change their format, because you probably don't listen to a channel that plays classic crooners like Bing Crosby. It eventually, the old rock and roll, it'll have to go and it'll be replaced by something new. But until then, Ozzy was the focus. Should have been Dr. John MacArthur, because a giant walked among us. And his passing is a great loss, not just for his family and local church, for the conservative evangelical body at large, and even for a nation. But we just lost another giant, and another tragedy is exposed. Very few people know much about this man who walked among us and had a massively profound impact on biblical counseling. I'm speaking of the late Dr. Wayne Mack. How old was Dr. Mack? Jimmy, you did a bunch of, I kid you not, Jimmy actually did a bunch of research right before the program, and I said, please, let's find out how old Dr. Wayne Mack was when he passed yesterday.
Right.
How old was he?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I can't find
Did you fall asleep?
I cannot.
Did you get distracted doing something else?
No.
Are you playing video games?
No, trust me, I'm not doing that.
All right. Why don't you know how old the man is?
It's not anywhere on the internet.
That's unbelievable.
It is. I do know that he was married to his wife, Carol, in 1957.
Yeah, so that tells you, I'm guessing he had to be in his 90s. I think it was about 2005. He was at least in his 70s. He might have been in his late 90s. He's had health struggles for the last several years. I've spent time with Dr. Mack. He was such a godly man. He was such a shepherd at heart. He cared so much for people. And he struggled with illness, but he went to Africa, nevertheless, South Africa, I think in 2005. Because he saw there was no biblical counseling happening in South Africa. Zilch. So he went to train pastors and to train people to become biblical counselors. And he worked, he had associations with people in the States. People would fly over to teach and to do seminars. And he helped to establish biblical counseling in South Africa at the age of like 80. Now that is a giant. That is a man who is running the race to the end. And we don't even know his death date, or his death age, rather, on the internet. The world seems to yawn at the passing of such giants. We should remember these individuals and learn from them, not to lift them up and put them on a pedestal, but to take a look at the life of a man who's, you have felt the impact of Wayne Mack. You didn't even know him. You felt his impact. Why? He wrote scads of books. We've shared them here before. Perhaps, maybe his greatest contribution would be a practical guide for biblical counseling, for effective biblical counseling. Sorry, this is a bit of an excursus. Reading a book currently by Mike Fabara's Preaching That Changes Lives. And he regularly quotes Jay Adams. Now, if you know biblical counseling, you know that Wayne Mack and Jay Adams were pals. And Jay Adams, the quotes that Mike Fabara's chose to use for this book that I encourage every pastor to read, you just got to read Mike's book. It will change your preaching. on one level or another. You might be going down the path that he's espousing, but I'm telling you, it will sharpen your preaching. The comments from Jay Adams were that preaching that just fills brains but doesn't move the whole man is not preaching. It's teaching. In other words, scripture needs to be applied. That's what biblical counseling is. It is the Bible applied directly to an individual. So it got me to thinking, if there's been a famine in our land, I'm talking about conservative circles, where we've had a lot of didactic preaching that has not tried to affect the whole man, will, volition, emotions, everything about the person. It's just been affecting the brain, learning a lot of stuff about God. Maybe that explains why it is so regular. If you're a biblical counselor or you've watched Transformed, our TV series, which you should, I think we just dropped a new episode today, Transformed Season 4. You will regularly hear people go, huh, that's really weird. I've heard that verse like 1,000 times, man. I've heard that verse preached, but I never knew it meant that. I didn't realize it could do that for me. Why do they say that? Perhaps it is because so much of our very fine didactic preaching doesn't have application. It doesn't explain, this is what it should do for you. This is what it will do to you. This is what it demands of you. That is teaching. That is preaching, because it has application. And that's exactly what Wayne Mack was about. Taking the Bible and applying it so that people could have their aha moment and go, oh, now I see where I've been going wrong. Because he took the Bible and applied it, contributed greatly to the legacy of biblical counseling, and he passed. And it's and not many people know about it, but heaven does. He has his earthly reward. The wrong that appears on the internet by not even having a Wikipedia page for this man. I don't know how many books Wayne sold. Probably a million books, if I had to guess.
A lot.
He wrote so many books. And he taught so brilliantly on biblical counseling, and then flying to South Africa to live there so that he could introduce people to biblical counseling. Come on. That's a giant's work. And the world snores. It's more of an indictment on the world, certainly, than it is on the legacy of Wayne Mack. But it raises a question. Interestingly, had a conversation very recently with a friend who's turning the calendar. It's funny how the zero year of your life should cause you to go, what am I up to? What am I doing here? I don't know if that happens very much when you're 20. I don't recall it. 30, I remember just blowing by that. 40, I was still a knucklehead. But I should have stopped to go, what am I doing here? And this friend of mine is pondering that very question as he's flipping the calendar to become a zero year. All right, where am I at? What am I doing for the kingdom? Am I doing the things that are most impactful? The things that will reach the most people with the great news that Jesus Christ died for sinners? What am I doing? I suspect Wayne Mack asked that question. And his answer was, I think I'll go to South Africa. I'll start up a biblical counseling center there. And he maximized the effectiveness of his life. And he taught until he died. Now, I think he's been bedbound for a bit. But I remember spending time with Wayne. He came and preached at my old church. And I asked him to come into studio because he was talking, as I recall, about the components that make a young man a stellar man. It was brilliant. It was all biblical. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's really good. This guy worked till he died. And I think that would be a lesson that we could learn from Wayne Mack. I get it. You get older. And by all accounts, everybody tends to get a little bit more tired. I remember seeing a clip recently of John MacArthur. I think somebody was asking him, hey, when you die, well, what's going to happen here? And John MacArthur said, well, right now, God has given me the strength to keep going. I think strength is a big deal. I think you're probably going to have limited capacities the older that you get, but that doesn't mean you don't have any capacities. Wayne Mack asked the question, what am I doing? What am I doing for King Jesus? And he was willing to, South Africa is lovely, I hear, wee bit dangerous these days, but he left home. He left better food options. He left America to go do something that would last, even though Wikipedia doesn't recall or even know who he is. Even though perhaps people don't know who he is, they will know what he taught. They will know that the Bible does indeed address their emotional issue, their sin problem, whatever the struggle is. The Bible has the answer. And his impact will be felt forever in the church. And currently, the wrong of the internet has been righted in heaven as a giant has been welcomed and heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Those should be the words that we're all longing to hear. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples open their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, the truth about mental health, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go, because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out. FortisInstitute.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events.
Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Found it! This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you continued sleuthing. Did you AI?
I did. It pointed me.
Why didn't you do that initially?
Well, I thought I could find it really quickly. I didn't know it was going to be so...
everything.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be so hidden.
You know, I got to tell you, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about the AI machine. And we've been reading statistics about jobs in the tech industry and that they're shrinking. They're just going away. And all of these young people that have received degrees and probably accumulated a fair amount of debt are no longer getting hired. There's no entry-level jobs. So much of it, not all of it, but so much of it has been replaced by the H-1B visa, which is actually accurate and true, by AI. The question is, what are these people supposed to do for a living? We go through seasons culturally in Western civilization, especially starting with the Industrial Revolution, where a lot of changes started taking place. So when a factory line, an assembly line was built, what did it do? It eliminated people work. It eliminated human occupations. But the good news is it replaced those positions with other positions. Higher productivity, they had to have more other things built, more shipping department jobs, more people delivering the product. It shook out and jobs got replaced. There used to be people who made a living selling and maybe building horses. No, you don't build a horse. And buggies, the buggy that goes with the horse. God makes the horse. The point is that job pretty much went out of business, unless, of course, you live in Ohio, an Amish country. There's not a great market for buggies. Why? Because we replaced it with something better, the automobile. We replaced it with so many ways for mass transportation. And that put people out of jobs, but it also created jobs. More cars were made than buggies, so people got in the auto industry. Now, some of those jobs get eliminated because of more technological advancements with robotic work. But nevertheless, we always kind of sort of, you know, it settles out. When the internet hit, if you recall, a lot of people were talking about, hey, what is this going to do for people's jobs? Because it could close down a lot of brick and mortar stores. And to a degree, it did. But we've still got stores because people still like to look at and touch stuff and try it on. But it did eliminate some brick and mortar stuff. But what did it do? It created other tech jobs. And so people would get trained and they found employment there. Question, what are we going to replace lost AI jobs with? If AI is so able to do accounting, statistical analysis, data science, what are those people going to do? It seems to, and I'm no prophet, but it seems to me that we should be looking for jobs that no robot can do. They can't perform those tasks that AI can't do. And it seems to me we might be heading back the other direction where more labor jobs are needed, more farming jobs are needed, things that a computer can't do. Because I'm not sure it's going to be replacing those jobs. We're eliminating tech jobs. So let's just say there's 1 million people right now without a job who are in the tech field. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? We need to replace it with a new industry. Now, I'm not a predictor of what technology is going to create, but I don't see it on the horizon. And this might be something for you to consider if you're young. I'm not sure this is the greatest motivation, but if you're looking to the future and you're saying, all right, if it's true, AI is kind of taking over the world, it's displacing a lot of people's employment. If robots are going to be able to do the work of human beings, I hear right now they've actually got a machine now that can pick grapes, that can go through the vineyards and pick the grapes. Those are jobs lost. If that's the case, is there a job that won't be jeopardized by AI? And I think there is. Pastoral ministry. Oh, I know. To a degree, that's being challenged because AI promises, I can be your spiritual guru. I can tell you what you should do and think and believe. And an AI will try to act like a pastor, but I don't think it can ever replace a pastor because AI can't hold your hand. AI can't visit people in the hospital. AI can't see your body language and understand and see maybe the tears that you're shedding when you're going through something traumatic. Pastoral ministry might just be one of those fields, something to consider. Not the greatest motivation, but something to ponder. You could become a pastor and, well, at least your job is safe. And by the, oh, I was reading the Evangelical Free Church of America. Now, they it's an orthodox denomination. And the Evangelical Free Church, they are in Minneapolis, in Bloomington, Minnesota, right off of 494, if I'm not mistaken. And they're saying we don't have enough young men coming up to replace all of these pastors because like the average age, like, dude, the average age for a pastor now is about 60 and there's no replacements on the horizon. Maybe. Here's something for us to consider. This is kind of my fantastic thinking, but could it be that God is inventing AI to drive more young men into pastoral ministry? Could be. He's in control of everything, after all. Jimmy, what did AI say is the age of Wayne Mack at his passing?
He turned 90 years old in June.
All right. Now, do I also have it right that he went to South Africa in 2005?
Yes.
So he was 70 when he went.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I knew him at that time. And his health was okay, but it wasn't great at the time. Nevertheless, he went. Let me share with you just a part of what Wayne Mack has contributed to biblical counseling from his book, A Practical Guide for Effective Biblical Counseling. You maybe have heard about the eight I's of biblical counseling. I think that it's Wayne who was at least a part of creating these eight I's for biblical counseling. Involvement, building warm, caring friendships, and influential relationships. Oh, man, that'll preach right there. If you want to help somebody in their sin, let's say, do you have a warm, caring friendship, an influential relationship? And maybe you're thinking, this doesn't seem practical. Are you a parent? Do you have children? Are you desiring to see them grow in godliness? If this I involvement is indeed a crucial component to seeing change in somebody's life, do you have a warm, caring friendship, an influential relationship with your child? If you don't, bing, ding. It's just you can fire those wisdom bullets all day and they're just going to deflect them. They just got Teflon brain. But if you focus at least as much on relationship as rules, your counseling to your kids will be more effective. Number two, inspiration. Inspiring people with biblical hope. You got to know God has a solution. You've got to know God fixes all problems. Like some problem is going to cause God to not have the ability to make somebody more whole. It's preposterous. And so we need to let people know when they are struggling, there is hope for you. There is hope. You can start to feel better immediately knowing, okay, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's totally dark right now, but I have been promised in the Word of God that there is hope for my situation. Number two, inventory. Collecting and considering data on the people who come to us, their background, education, parents, jobs, physical conditions, strengths, weakness, both spiritual and in their character, their key relationships, the pressures they face. In other words, the biblical counselor gets to know you because that information can be kind of helpful when you're trying to apply Bible verses to their lives. Number four, interpretation. You use inventory gathered in relation to biblical teaching to interpret the nature and cause of a person's problems. In other words, you throw away the DSM-5 and you use your Bible to interpret their situation. Instruction. Oh, a young lady just threw a party, 18 years old. because she was going to get her diagnosis and they were going to celebrate it because she was going to get labeled. And she had pretty much everything, PTSD, ADHD, autism spectrum. And they were celebrating that. We need to reject that. We need to stop letting the world label people. The Bible should interpret it, followed by instruction, how to have goals and solve problems, inducement, inspiring strong godly principles in the person to motivate them to reach the goals of instruction, implementation, how to do this stuff. And then finally, and this is crucial, integration. You got to be integrated into a local church because your counseling is going to end, but your needs will continue. Don't we all have those? Where will you find ongoing support? That's right, in the context of your local church. The Eight I's, courtesy of the late, great Dr. Wayne Mack. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.